All right, guys, welcome back to Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan, back here to talk about what else, Dylan? Where some of these players are going to wind up, because that is going to be the talk of everything NFL free agency here, in terms of like looking at all the different landing spots for some of these top players. And, you know, Dylan, if we had a 12-hour podcast, we'd go through everybody, but we just don't have a chance to go through every single player that's going to be a free agent. So we're going to focus more on kind of the top tier possibilities. And there's some interesting betting odds out there for some of these players as to where they will wind up for their next teams. We'll talk about those, but I mean, as always, Dylan, it's like we say this every year. It's quite an intriguing group of players that are out there. We know, kind of headlined by guys like Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley, Chris Jones, and going down the list, Derrick Henry, of course, all these other guys. It's going to be fascinating. And as we always say, it's like you can have an idea of how a guy would fit with a certain, you know, team and all this other stuff. But as we know, too, especially when it comes to like different positions, it's a domino effect. Whatever one guy decides will ultimately, you know, impact what the next guy does and all this other stuff. So it'll be fun as usual.
Yep, 100%. It's a lot of big names. I know we've had some pretty crazy ones over the years. Obviously, Tom Brady's, can't beat that when he first left the Patriots. But there's a number of, like you mentioned, a lot of them off the top, just guys that have been really impactful staples for franchises for a long time that haven't, in most of the cases, moved, right? They've been with these teams their entire careers. And still, in some cases, as we go through this, we'll probably have some conservative takes in terms of where guys will end up in terms of some staying. I wouldn't have, if we were recording a little bit earlier, I would have probably been predicting Mike Evans end up somewhere else outside of Tampa before he re-signed. So yeah. Maybe some of these guys that I expect to stay won't. It should be a lot of fun. But as we always caution, you can win. I think you win free agency in the NFL in particular compared to some other sports, and it doesn't always pan out. Look at the year after the Super Bowl win for the Rams, and what they had a big offseason, did not pan out. Obviously, only won 5 games the year after that, and it's a cautionary tale. And a lot of teams are going to express some restraint, I'm sure, with the draft coming up and so many promising players there. But nonetheless, a lot of big names, like you said, they'll kind of be, at least for some positions, maybe not running back in particular, where there's some guys you can make arguments about different guys who you'd rather have. But a lot of places, like for quarterback with Kirk Cousins, where he ends up kind of sets the domino for where the other quarterbacks end up as we play it out. And same at other positions with top players like Brian Burns, as you mentioned, some of these other guys that are in here.
Well, we can start with Cousins because I think he's probably the most, again, we've been talking about this one for a while. Like, we knew this was coming. And so it's going to be kind of fascinating to see how this thing would play out. If you look at different places, it seems like, you know, there are a couple teams in particular that you're going to find in most spots, and that is the Vikings. And it's also the Atlanta Falcons, who I think you've seen pop up quite a bit here recently. The Raiders are another team. I'm looking here. Bookies.com has the Raiders maybe with the best odds, but it is just barely over, you know, either the Vikings or looking at the Falcons. Of course, these are just, again, these are for pure entertainment value. They're not really anything else. There's no inside information kind of stuff going on. But I think it's interesting to look at some of these teams that are out there. And again, the Falcons seem to be the one, if you just connected over the past couple of days as we're recording this, it seems like the Falcons, for whatever reason, I think it was what someone said something about, it was former, I don't remember who it was, but about how the Falcons seem like maybe we're going to be the fit for Kirk Cousins. We'll see. We've obviously talked about the Falcons quarterback situation and knowing that just isn't going to be the long-term solution there. You know, given everything, the bouncing back and forth they did last year and all of that. So, I mean, what do we think, Dylan? I mean, this is, you know, again, depending on where you look, either the odds are the Vikings, Falcons, Patriots are another team I've seen thrown around out there. But this is going to be interesting to see where Cousins winds up.
Yeah, we knew going into the offseason that of all the teams that were going to need a quarterback, the Falcons were up there, of course. But, as much as now that it does make sense, in my opinion, especially with, you know, they're bringing Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson comes over from the Rams, there's some connections to the Shanahan system and all these different things that you start to add up, like, all right, in terms of what they might want to implement and the different things. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a guy that at times Kyle Shanahan thought he was probably going to be pursuing. I know there was a recent interview with Schefter talking about how There was a in the draft in 2017 that the Niners didn't even really look at any of the quarterbacks, including Patrick Mahomes, because they were so set on getting Kirk Cousins the year after. Things obviously changed, the Jimmy Garoppolo trade and all that, how that turned down. But yeah, I mean, he's been clearly a guy that since his Washington days, that the different branches of the Shanahan tree, as they've gone off, they've still kept him in mind. And obviously Kevin O'Connell part of that too. And I, from the Vikings point of view, I'm sure they're going to, at least I hope they're going to try to keep him, because I think reality will be will hit quickly if they move on to another free agent in particular. We'll see if they are able to go the draft a QB and what their plan is there. Things can change drastically quickly. Teams can trade up, and not something the Vikings have traditionally done under the new GM, fairly new GM now, has been there a few years. It really hasn't been their kind of strategy, but maybe in this case, they really do think they need a little more of a reset. I thought, obviously, before his injury, the Vikings looked pretty solid this past year. I know Kirk is getting up there age-wise, but the way that with medicine now and the way the guys can rehab and work on their bodies in the offseason, they're able to really stay in there, you know, much longer than they have in the past. So the thing here for the Falcons, in terms of, you talk about outside of drafting a quarterback, or I know we talked briefly about possibly trading for Justin Fields, if you can get Kirk Cousins, I mean, with the weapons they have and a defense that played better, as we talked about last year, over the course of the season, I think it makes all the sense in the world for them. It's just and I know Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk has been reporting. He has sources telling him that Cousins is preparing to move his family to Atlanta. So definitely over the last week, the smoke here has gotten to a point where it doesn't feel like it's just a rumor or anything. It does feel like this is building up, as if he's going to leave Minnesota, this is probably the main place. And it takes a team that, you know, might have been in the quarterback market otherwise off in Atlanta, but it obviously adds one in Minnesota. And I guess that's maybe for me, or I start thinking about it, there's a lot of different things for Atlanta that I could see them pivoting to if they don't get Cousins. The more I think about it, I need to give some more thought from the Vikings' point of view. If they let him go, or, you know, or at least not necessarily like letting him just walk, but if they aren't able to win the sweepstakes here, that's where it's I'm a little more curious about what their plan is, and would love to get some illuminating comments from their front office to see what their plan would be at that point.
Yeah, I mean, and we said that this is the big one. Like, this is the one, obviously, quarterback-wise, that will determine everything else and kind of seeing what happens with Kirk Cousins here. So, yeah, that seems to be where things are now. A lot of momentum in favor of the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see if that actually turns out to be the case with that. All right, let's talk about some other offensive guys. Running backs is always, of course, a fascinating one, given kind of where the free agency market is for running backs these days. And of course, you've got Saquon, Derrick Henry, guys we talked about, Josh Jacobs is there. What do we think of this group, Dylan? Because I think this is another one where, you know, Eckler, another one that's out there. So yeah, there's a lot of fascinating ones. We go to BetUS here. They've got, again, just remember, these are just pure entertainment based odds here on potential next teams. Eckler, Ravens plus 400, Eagles plus 500, Bears plus 600, Broncos plus 700. So you can see there's not much of a gap here. That's kind of the point, is that this thing could go any direction there. So the leading three candidates, just by the numbers, even though there's not a huge difference, Ravens, Eagles, Bears. Well, we go to Derrick Henry. Two of those teams are involved with Derrick Henry. Plus 200 Ravens, plus 400 Cowboys, plus 400 Eagles. Those are the top three for Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs. There's another team in here you've heard before. That's the Ravens, who seem to be in a pretty good position to land one of these guys. They're at plus 400, as are the Chargers and the Texans. Cowboys plus 700. So, I mean, look, it's the same game we play every year. Tony Pollard, right? Guess who's leading the way with Tony Pollard? The Eagles, plus 400. So, it's just a matter of identifying which teams obviously need to fill this area and fill the void here, and figuring out who's going to go where. Like, that's what it comes down to. With this running back group, we've always, I think, even during the season, we were talking about, well, if Derrick Henry gets traded, hey, Eagles or Ravens would make a lot of sense. You know, again, we know kind of Tony Pollard's situation. Saquon is now a fascinating one. I don't know. Again, Dylan, this is like, take your pick on these running backs, because we kind of see the same group of teams mentioned with all of them, just because they're the ones that clearly need a starting running back.
yeah, Saquon not getting tagged, obviously, yeah, gets thrown in this mix. It's definitely a loaded class in terms of we've obviously had a lot of running backs trying to get bigger deals and ultimately hitting the market. But the name power of some of these guys, you think of, at least from a fantasy perspective, I mean, these are consistently four guys that have been drafted quite high for years now. Obviously, there's always a next group coming in, and you're always worried for that cliff where the performance starts to pay off. And that makes me curious to see in terms of what the actual deals are. But yeah, for Fitz, I mean, I've felt at times that the Ravens have had some decent running back situations, but yeah, injuries have always been an issue for them. Same with the Eagles. They've tried throwing tons of guys there. And clearly, as you see here with the odds, they're still going to be in the mix. I think the Texans are the interesting one in terms of what that team could do with it. Let me look real quick at their, they got, you know, in terms of the teams that we're talking about that are in the mix here, they have more cap space, at least at the moment, via overthecap.com, a little over 70 million compared to a lot of the other teams that we're looking that are often contenders trying to find another piece, and their cap situations aren't all quite as healthy. The Eagles are pretty good. So I think the Eagles are an interesting one in terms of who. That's the question. I think Derrick Henry, you mentioned before, I think the Ravens and Derrick Henry, I mean, I know he's had a lot of battles against him, but I imagine him just really making teams stay honest with the inside between the tackles and what that could open up for Lamar. And already we've seen Lamar able to create on his own, obviously, with another MVP season. But adding another weapon for him, I don't think is a bad idea if they can get the right price there. That's great, but I think, again, the Texans are the one that I'm kind of keeping an eye on in terms of, and you know, the amount of money they might be able to spend, as they're, unlike these other teams, have the rookie QB that they're able to, the rookie QB contract that they're able to kind of capitalize on and maybe spend a bit more and go the extra extra distance there. I think Saquon, obviously, when we've seen him healthy, and he's been at times more healthy lately, still so explosive, and you know, the time that he's missed maybe does keep him as a fresher option maybe for Houston compared to some of these other names. I'm kind of thinking, you know, that's what I at the beginning when talking about how at the different positions guys will sign and how they'll dictate the market, this is the one at running back where I'm not really sure who that lead guy is. Maybe I'm being naive, maybe it is someone that's obvious, but to me, I mean, all you can make different arguments for Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, for Saquon. I know Eckler at times has been obviously in fantasy more valuable maybe than he's always been considered by teams, but still nonetheless, if you have a dominant running back to pound it inside and you need a third down guy that can catch the ball as well and also take a lot of carries just overall, I still think there's some value for Eckler. We've seen a lot of guys with his mold kind of have longer resurgent careers. Obviously Darren Sproles isn't the, you know, comparing anyone to the magic of that man, it's maybe not fair, but nonetheless, maybe could move into where he's not always the primary guy. Maybe that little more fresh, freshness to him when he's getting those touches, what that could mean. So trying to make some projections here of where I'd maybe like to see guys, I think Saquon to the Texans for me, I don't know. So it's maybe sounds weird. That feels a little Madden-y in terms of just seeing him in a Texans uniform after playing for a historic franchise like the Giants, but I would love to see him and CJ Stroud together. I think Derrick Henry with the Ravens will be a lot of fun. And then for Eckler, maybe the Eagles, maybe that's maybe trying to fit something in that doesn't necessarily need to there, but out of the other teams listed, we'll see what happens. You mentioned the Bears were third in the Eckler sweepstakes. I feel like they're going to end up maybe drafting someone deeper. I mean, at the end of the day, these teams are also going to be looking at the incoming running back class that maybe isn't as over the top. I mean, we've had a couple last year, even to an extent, where guys weren't being drafted insanely high. Obviously, you're going to always have the late round running backs like a Kyron Williams from a couple of years ago ends up obviously having a big season. So we'll see. It's going to come down to the financial part. And that's why I think Houston, at least they have a little more wiggle room than these other teams, would make sense. But and maybe with Derrick Henry, I'm just I'm trying to manifest just seeing that. I'm just the run at the backfield of him and Lamar Jackson would be quite a bit of fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had more time every day, how would you spend it? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but for what? Do you know what is important to you? Without knowing, how do we know how to prioritize our time? Whether you already know what you want to do or not, Therapy is a great place to work through challenges you face and figuring things out. Find out what matters most to you and plot a course of action to make it happen. Don't wait until the fourth quarter for you to make your move. Take action now and make it count. No matter the size of your goal in life, seeking help through therapy can empower you to take control of your mindset to achieve what you've set yourself out to achieve. It can help you develop skills for your personal wellness, which in turn will influence the way you tackle day-to-day obstacles. There's no shame in seeking help when navigating through the challenges of college life. Take full control of your life. Trust me, it'll be worth it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and very accessible. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched up with a licensed therapist. You can also switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/thepass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thepass.
Yeah, I just, again, we've connected Derrick Henry and the Ravens, it was like for months now, and I just... Yep. For some reason, it was like the universe is going to put that into play here, and it makes a lot of sense based on the style, everything the Ravens would need there, and as always, though, your Derrick Henry, drafting him in fantasy may not be the best thing, because you just never know if you should draft a Ravens running back in fantasy, so that's the one thing I would add, although he'll get paid enough that it probably won't matter about fantasy output, so yeah, that's going to be interesting, like you said. I'm not sure either if there is just one guy that's going to lead the way in the running back group, because all these guys obviously have value and seeing what they get some of these teams. All right. Chris Jones is a big name out there. There seems to be, at least over the past couple of weeks, when you look at it, and then I know Brett Veach has commented on it and all that. Clearly the Chiefs would love to bring him back. I think that's pretty clear. I don't think there's any question about that. So, but if you want to look beyond that, you know, we're going to have some fun with the BetUS odds here. And again, this is quite an interesting group of teams. The Raiders, plus 400 leading the way. Lions, plus 500. Cowboys, plus 600. Bills, plus 800. Ravens, plus 900. Texans, plus 1,200. And then there's a full list of teams after that. Again, if not the Chiefs, I want to make that very clear. Like, these are odds that do not include the Chiefs for a reason. So if it weren't the Chiefs, hey, Antonio Pierce would probably love to have Chris Jones involved on the Raiders defense and the way they want to play. No question about that. But at least right now, Dylan, it seems like there's a lot more positive momentum towards the Chiefs. And I think trying to figure out who that other team would be right now is a lot harder to do, because obviously Chris Jones would fit in great with quite a few teams and maybe be that missing piece they need to push them into another stratosphere defensively.
Yeah, I can't really think of a team that wouldn't want him.
Yeah.
Like you said, though, for the Chiefs to possibly figure out how to make this work, they've figured out how to make it work the last couple of years as he's missed games and different holdout kind of things. You see his drive, and it's not a guy that you're not going to be worried about this guy getting a huge payday and not performing. He's an absolute competitor. One of the funnier guys watching those the America's Game documentary after the Super Bowl 57 win in particular. We'll see what happens after this most recent one. But he is a funny guy that is just his mindset when it gets down, especially to that time of year. He's going to kick it up another gear. He obviously made some crucial plays that we talked about in the Super Bowl. I don't think they win without him. He's the cornerstone of that defense that is, as we talked about again, has risen from being a group that was good enough to win with the Chiefs offense and to a defense that really kind of led them for large portions of this year and large portions of the Super Bowl in their third and 5 years. So to imagine him anywhere else, it's hard for me to do. But if I've seen, the Raiders here, obviously, if they could get a Chris Jones, the Lions in particular, too, with that defensive line, what that would mean alongside Aiden Hutchinson. Was going to mention the Lions here for a couple of these edge guys, too. I know we talked about needs for these teams, and we mentioned an opposite edge of Hutchinson. So, but if they were able to get Chris Jones, that might kind of play a couple different roles in terms of what he can do as a pass rusher on the interior and depending where he lines up. So, the Bears were also mentioned. I know PFF did their like breakdown of different free agent fits, and they put the Bears, and it's like, yeah, of course, would Chicago love to have a dominant interior lineman to kind of jumpstart that the way that defense started to play better at times in the second half of the year? Yes. So it's this is a market where I know, you know, Christian Wilkins also going to be a possible free agent with the Dolphins not tagging him. I think that this is though a situation where Jones is going to lead this one, and well, and there'll be the residual effect afterward for Wilkins. But yeah, in terms of predicting where he's going to end up, I mean, the Chiefs. This is one where I'm like, yeah, I know the odds. Like you said, there, if he leaves the Chiefs, I just have a really hard time seeing him leave. Maybe if he does, the Lions would be. I think he's too competitive a guy to go to a team that, even with what could happen, depending on what your opinion is on Caleb Williams with the Bears, what you think the Raiders might do at quarterback too. I think he's going to want to go to a team that has a chance to at least win quickly. So if he's going to leave the Chiefs, I'll say Lions, but that's just complete. Thinking too. You know, I don't know his exact thinking. I think the Chiefs, though, ultimately will figure it out, and we're not going to see Chris Jones leaving Chiefs Kingdom.
That would be my bet right now. I think that's the safest bet for sure. But like you said, there's so many teams that would find a way probably to make this work with them that it's hard to narrow it down to a small group of teams when everyone, you know, he could be the missing piece everywhere, basically. So, all right, we talked about Kirk Cousins earlier, but another quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Obviously, if we'd had this conversation a year ago, it'd be much different probably than what it is now, because, you know, you see what he did in Tampa. They get a playoff win. And it seems like, again, a lot of momentum towards him returning to the Bucs based on the season he had last year. And of course, they did just re-sign Mike Evans, as you said. So Evans is back in the mix, and it would just connect together that they bring Baker back and be fine. But I know, I think it was NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah was at the combine, of course. And one team he had mentioned, then the Patriots would be the other team to keep an eye on with Baker. Obviously, that's where, you know, again, if that is the case, well, then that certainly changes the, you know, the number three pick and those kind of things in terms of possibilities and everything. I think he specifically mentioned then they would, you know, probably try to shop that number three pick if that wound up being something where the two parties connected. But I don't know. Again, this is another one where it feels like you see what Baker, kind of a resurgence he had, and it worked. You know, and I think that they got the most out of him that they possibly could, and he gave them everything he had. And it's just a matter of, again, probably trying to figure out if the what kind of extension, the money, the financials, all that kind of stuff. If it works for both parties, I would have to think he returns to Tampa. If not, I do think there is something to the idea of, you know, look at the Patriots as a team that would certainly be a possibility, but more so with Baker probably than Kirk Cousins. Is that you do have some really good, you know, quarterback options, obviously, in this class. We know Caleb Williams likely where he's headed, but, you know, you do have guys, you know, whether it's Jaden Daniels, who obviously improved his stock considerably. You've got Drake May, all these other guys. I mean, J.J. McCarthy. Like, so, yeah, so it's interesting dynamic here for Baker, but it does, again, seem like the positive momentum towards him returning, so.
Yeah, Tampa has all the incentive to bring him back in terms of he's a guy that I do see with a loyalty to a situation where he's obviously bounced around a lot. And even if he mostly holds, it feels like more animosity towards Carolina and Cleveland than other spots. I think he does appreciate that Tampa gave him a chance to full time start, not just at the end of the season like the Rams did, right? He has a lot of connective pieces there, getting to, you know, being in a divisional game against the Lions too. I think that's something with Baker is kind of thrown in here. In some people's opinions, like, yeah, man, he had a great year. Like he almost made a conference championship game with Tampa Bay, and they dominated the Eagles, obviously. You know, it's just hard to find a guy quickly like him. So I think the Bucks know, you know, after losing Brady, to be able to have this kind of quicker transition with him. They're not in a spot in the draft, obviously, where they're going to be able to quickly get a QB the same way some other teams that are maybe in the mix. As you mentioned, the Patriots, the Falcons have been mentioned. And I do think potentially that's the one spot where if Kirk stays in Minnesota or goes somewhere else, that's the team that I'm like, all right, between Atlanta and Tampa, there could be some competition to drive up Baker's market. The Patriots, yes, I could see that. And, you know, being able to trade that pick and what that could mean draft capital wise to replenish the rest of your roster. At the same token, you look at, you know, having the rookie QB contract, we always talk about it, with how much that can mean in terms of what that opens up in terms of your flexibility elsewhere. Hitting later in the draft is going to always be a key, you know, regardless. So even if you add some top end picks, if you, it really comes down for the Patriots, I'm guessing, to their evaluation of some of these guys on the like you mentioned, all the different quarterbacks coming into this draft and where they think they're going to ultimately end up. I know there's been, we'll talk about the draft pretty soon, plenty of smoke screens already being put up around Drake May in particular. Sometimes at Caleb, but man, there's some stuff about, and also with Jaden Daniels too. I see the different reports from people coming out, reporters coming out of the combine about McCarthy possibly jumping Daniels and even May, depending on who those people talk to. So I don't know if those are real things or it's the classics trying to distract teams from what you really want to do and trying to manipulate kind of the space. It's going to be a crazy one. Whenever there's a lot of quarterbacks at the top of a draft, it makes for smokescreen season unlike any other. So I don't know though for the Pats. I know that in theory, yes, like with the way Baker played, and I think that he's worth, for any of these teams that are going to get him, are going to be happier than maybe even a year or two ago people would have thought with where Baker's reputation was at that point. I think he's proven himself quite a bit, but I have a hard time for him seeing him. If Tampa really wants to keep him, I don't think he's going to leave, just because I think there is a level of loyalty there, and seeing, you know, Mike Evans staying maybe makes a difference too. In terms of what they'll be able to do, they still have quite a bit of cap space according to Over the Cap. The Patriots have a ton also, but the Bucks and Falcons have plenty there. So again, that's where I think the one team that may, I'm picking the Bucks for him, but I think the Falcons are a low key kind of sneaky one if they don't hit on Kirk. And that's where this Baker market, maybe Baker won't wait. Maybe he'll just, the Bucks will make an offer, kind of seize the opportunity while Atlanta's still in a waiting period, and he'll stay. But I think that's maybe, even though the Pats have a lot of noise kind of drumming up behind them as a possible destination, I think the Falcons for me are maybe a little more intriguing as a possible spot.
All right, we'll wrap up with three defensive guys. These three, you know, as we always say, the NFL.com does their top 101 in terms of free agents. These three are in the top five, and understandably so, behind Chris Jones and Kirk Cousins. Josh Allen, of course, with the Jags, Christian Wilkins with the Dolphins, and then Brian Burns with the Panthers. Of course, we saw the update that I think they put the, was it the tag, exclusive, yeah, franchise tag on Burns. That was, yeah, I think as we're recording this on Tuesday. So, again, I mean, kind of like we said with Jones, it's, you've got three guys that obviously have all made significant contributions, you know, all kind of around the same age. Burns 26, Allen's 27, Wilkins 28. So all three kind of setting up for a very interesting, you know, free agency period potentially, even though, again, there's going to be a couple of these cases where it would not shock anyone to see this player return to their former team. So I would have to think that's the case here, Dylan, with these guys. I don't know if it's going to be as anticlimactic as some of these others, but you never know with free agency.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of teams that have pretty big needs and a lot of cap space and are ready to spend for these kind of guys. Pass rusher obviously so important, and what Christian Wilkins does in the inside. Like I mentioned, I think Chris Jones is going to kind of run that market, but I, you know, in terms of where Wilkins ends up, maybe a little different market than Burns and Allen, both pretty young guys in terms of hitting free agency. And obviously Burns, as you mentioned with the tag, not surprising that the Panthers weren't going to just hope to recoup a comp pick and play for him. The value of him is going to be much higher in a trade. And I still think after putting the tag on him, given where the Panthers were last season, it's going to make a lot of sense for them to trade him. I don't know if they're going to get the offer that they, you know, we go back to that, the two first rounders the Rams reportedly had offered back after their Super Bowl season that the Panthers turned down. Don't think you're going to be getting that kind of offer, but there are some teams that are going to be a little more desperate in terms of trying to acquire a guy like him. It's not easy to find a Brian Burns in the free agent market. Obviously, that's why he's not even now, it kind of enters more of the trade market. I think the Bills still are an interesting one in terms of what he can mean for that pass rush team. That, you know, they tried to address that with Von Miller, and you know, off the field, on the field, things sort of fell off, and that hurt them there. I think the Lions, as I mentioned, as a team that could look for an opposite pass rusher, I think that's where Josh Allen maybe from Jacksonville hits in terms of where he could end up as a possible destination. I know the Rams have been rumored a lot for Josh Allen too. I think those are maybe two of the teams that consider themselves, even if the, you know, the Lions went much further than the Rams, but I think they both consider themselves as competitors in the NFC this season. So I see him maybe between those two spots are the ones that outside of Jacksonville, if the Jags, disappointing obviously into the season, but both teams need a lot of help rushing the passer, and especially for the Rams. But you look at the Lions, I mean, with what Aiden can do and what that would mean to open him up, I think just somewhat, I think the Lions will find a way to get one of these bigger names on the defensive line in free agency. And, maybe they'll be trying to address it in the draft too, but I think there's enough guys here that have a chance. And then, yeah, for Wilkins, maybe a little bit different teams in terms of where he'll end up, not getting the tag as was reported yesterday. So that opens things up for him. I think the Dolphins obviously would love to have him back, but I mentioned a team earlier for one of the running backs, but a team that also on the defense line could use help, the Texans. And you talk about a place too where the culture that is being built up there and what mm-hmm. it can mean with D'Amico and that whole defense, and they were swarming at different times. And I think that's a really attractive place that has money to sign these kind of guys. So it's crazy how things change. We weren't talking that long ago about a Texans team that I wouldn't have said that a lot of people want to end up there. And now it's even for Brian Burns too, in terms of what a possible trade package that they could drum up with some of the picks they still have. And obviously the style there, I think they're another team that kind of with the Lions, Rams, Texans, I think that those three, all teams that consider themselves contenders here in 2024 that have needs along the defensive line. And with the openings here are going to give some stiff competition to Jacksonville trying to and the Dolphins trying to keep a couple of their guys. And I think with Burns, hopefully for the Panthers' sake, drumming up a pretty big trade market for him, I even if it's not going to be quite as big as some of the offers they would have received a couple of years ago.
That's a great point about the Texans. I think that's important, like especially with some of these guys that are newer to their teams and like wanting to establish kind of the idea of being aggressive, especially for the Texans, who just completely overachieved. And now it's like, if D'Amico Ryans has all the ammunition he needs to be able to say, hey, look what we've already done, and now we just need to be aggressive to go grab one or two of, guys like this. And it's like, all right, and now we just completely take that next step. We've got, obviously, our quarterback, all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that's going to be kind of fascinating to see which of those teams kind of put themselves in that position. Again, I think the Texans should be aggressive. The Lions as well. They're kind of two similar teams in that. They're trying to build in a certain way and are ahead of probably schedule than maybe where people thought they would be. So, it'll be interesting. Any other guys quickly, Dylan, we want to mention? I know, again, there's so many out there we could say, talk more about, but again, just any quick hitters on some of the other guys maybe.
Yeah, I know they already put the non-exclusive tag in Kansas City on L'Jarius Sneed. He was one that maybe would have entered the mix and still possible trade market. But we've talked about the Ravens having Matt Ibuke and a lot of guys hitting free agency for them, more defensive linemen. It's a class, Danielle Hunter from Minnesota, where there's going to be quite a few guys that if these teams that I mentioned that we talked about strike out on some of the top guys, they got some decent fallback options. I know Jalen Johnson, I had written down, I think at corner for his age and what he's able to do makes him a really intriguing guy that I think the Bears are going to find a way long-term to keep him. But one that if he did hit the open market, his price tag is going to be really high, because there's just looking down the list, there's a lot of some solid safeties, some different, other players, all offensive linemen. Tyron Smith, obviously a really big name with what he's been able to do over the course of his career in Dallas. I mean, there's no shortage of big name free agents. As I scroll down, I joked before, I was like, even Chase Young is on here. I mean, there's like, and didn't really, even put him down initially on here, not to disrespect him, but Tony Pollard. I mean, there's a lot of impact guys that could be changing the scenery this offseason, and It's going to take, it's always an adjustment period. But by the time the season starts, we get kind of used to it. But nonetheless, yeah, those are some guys I'd throw out there. And Jalen Johnson in particular, whereas if he actually does hit the market somehow, or is in a you know, a strong trade market even, I think he's the one that's the name I'm, you know, where he could end up getting a, you know, a corner with his ability at his age at 25. It's just, it's not easy to do that without drafting a guy. So I think the market there, a lot of teams, the Rams, for example, a lot of teams that would be quite interested in Johnson's services.
Yep, I think so too. So we'll see. Like we said, it's, who knows? We can give you our best guesses on some of these guys, but you just don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of teams out there willing to spend money for these top tier players, and so it'll make it interesting. And of course, their former teams have decisions to make too. So, of course, Dylan, we have following it all over Clutch Points. Lots of stuff getting kind of ready here, gearing up for all these big moves that we know are going to take place in NFL free agency. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, you can go to the NFL section of the Clutch Points app, NFL section of ClutchPoints.com on the homepage as well. Yeah, tons of free agency coverage. We have the by the time you listen to this, it'll be a couple days after, but we'll have a lot of coverage of the the deadline for tagging players on Tuesday. So Jalen Johnson in particular, we'll see if he's going to hit the market or be more of a possible trade kind of chip here. But yeah, we have all that coverage. Been going through the best landing spots for these guys, the same kind of conversation we had, breaking it down more in depth for some of these top players, looking at the team, you know, from a team point of view. If you want to look at your favorite team and some of the free agents we think they should be signing, you can find that at Clutch Points. You can also, from the NFL section, you go to the teams page there. You can go to every single team hub and tons of news, tons of coverage, a lot of big breakdowns. It's been again, the off season, sometimes this March, April time period through the draft is almost more busy than parts of the actual season. So tons of stuff to look into if you're missing football and, you know, looking ahead to 2024.
Yep. Check it all out over Clutch Points. Like I said, lots of stuff to come there, getting you ready for a wild, wild off season as always in the NFL. So check it all out. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks, as always, for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.